like a merry-go-round. Said Santa to a girl child, what would please you most to get? A little baby doll that could quite sleep, drink, and wet. And then away he went, Rudolph, whizzing like a saber jet. Run, run, Rudolph, Santa gotta make it to town.
Oh yeah.
Santa make him hurry, tell him he can take the freeway down. Run, run, Rudolph, I'm feeling like a merry-go-round. Run, run, Rudolph, Santa gotta make it to town. Santa make him hurry, tell him he can take the freeway down. Run, run, Rudolph, I'm feeling like a merry-go-round.
Jingle Hell Rock live from Orlando, Florida, here in the beautiful state, Sunshine State, probably the warmest place we've ever held a Jingle Hell Rock. This is the last show of the year, and we're going to go out with a bang, hopefully, tonight. Thank you all for joining us. Let me bring in my co-host, the legend himself. Ladies and gentlemen, El Vacant is here. Feliz Navidad, El Vacant.
Feliz Navidad, mi amigo. ¿Cómo está?
I'm doing awesome. Had a great Christmas. I'm well rested now and getting ready to end the year off with a bang, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate the 2022 tonight and sign off until next year, 2023. We got a lot to cover tonight, El Vacant. It's going to be a kind of a packed show for a pay-per-view. We're going to talk a lot more than just about the pay-per-view. We're going
to
talk
about a whole year to discuss.
We got a whole year to discuss, if you will. So we need to get down to it really quick. And I'm awaiting a couple of things, but we can at least talk about some of the matches on the card. Let's talk about the main event to start. It is the World Heavyweight Champion, Nightcrawler, defending against Deez. Deez has been a man on a mission over the last couple months. He called his shot not too long ago, said he was going to come after the champion, whoever that may be, at Jingle Hell Rock. And tonight he does so as he challenges Nightcrawler. However, the anarchy rock star, I don't think is going to go down with without a fight. Who do you like here? Will it be Nightcrawler, or will Deez win his first ever World Heavyweight Championship?
Look, if you asked me that question before the last pay-per-view, I'd have said Deez wins his hands down. But Nightcrawler's shown me something, right? Like he took the title. He maintained the title against a very strong opponent. I think he's in there. Like he has grown into the position that he found himself in, and it's a beautiful thing to see. To be honest, he's if you've been watching his matches lately, he's been having incredible matches with some of the top talent in the company. Like he's right up there with them at this point. I would say he's found that rhythm, and I think we're in for a hell of a match, and I think it's going to come down to, is Deez hungrier to get that thing he has never had and always wanted, or is Nightcrawler not satisfied with what he's done yet and has more to prove to himself and everyone else? And I think that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a war of wills.
I mean, it's definitely a toss-up, although both men have tremendous momentum going into this match. There's no doubt about that. Both of them are at the top, in top condition, at the peak of their careers. They have all the momentum in the world. This is a hell of a main event to finish off 2022 for the World Heavyweight Championship. This is a call it down the middle as far as I'm concerned. Can NC fend off Deez for that World Heavyweight Championship? We find out tonight.
And I don't know the answer, but I can't wait to find out.
Mithras defends the Platinum Dragon Championship against the Teflon Sheik. And on paper, I think we look at this as possible mismatch, especially when it's Mithras, the Title Machine, Platinum Dragon Championship on the line. He doesn't lose too many of those, as we know. If he wins tonight, as a matter of fact, he cements himself as the longest reigning Platinum Dragon Champion in RAWF history. However, Teflon Sheik has taken at least one or two major titles away from him in his RAWF career. But at the same time, there were circumstances behind all this. This is going to be...
Can we call that circumstance a Bentley?
Yeah, we do. We absolutely do. It is going to be... like I said, on paper, Sheik, not much of a chance. But anything can happen, as we know. What are your thoughts?
Look, I think the smart money, the smart bet is on Mithras all day long, right? If he wins this, he takes a record away, which, you know, he likes doing. It's against someone he has personal history with, and it's not exactly what you would call good history, you know, so there's going to be some of that. You know, the last time these guys faced off in a pay-per-view, there was the incident with that Bentley. I'm fairly certain, you know, someone remembers that and wants to have a little word with someone about it. All signs point to Mithras coming out with his hand raised and with his title still intact. But all of that being said, Teflon Sheik has won matches. Hell, I'll even go this far. Teflon Sheik has made a career out of winning matches he should never win. Right? He has walked into match after match after match where on paper he should be destroyed and walked out with his head high and his wrist held in the air by the ref, right? So do not count that man out.
I have to agree with you. You can't count Sheik out. Considering what he's done in his entire career, you know, he definitely has some history with Mithras, and we will see. It is what it is, but I think Mithras' momentum – we know how Mithras loves records, and this one is one he definitely wants to have because he would add that to a plethora of records that he owns as far as longest reigns here in RAWF. All right. The Beast defends the national title against Denzel the Giant. Now, a few months ago, Denzel went down to injury, had to forfeit the national title. Got injured defending the national title, was basically counted out, and the title was awarded to his opponent. Now he's back with a vengeance to come after that title that he doesn't believe he technically lost. But we've got the Beast of Anarchy in wait. Who do you like here?
I think I'm going to get to say one of my favorite things ever. Beast. I think he's going to win. My prediction is Beast.
Is Beast. Okay. All right. So Beast, you believe, will retain against Denzel the Giant.
I have faith in him. I think he's going to do it.
All right. Well, we find out tonight. I think that one also is going to be a pretty close matchup. I do think Denzel certainly has, he wants that belt back, and that in itself is enough for him to pull out a victory. We will see if it is the Beast or the Giant for the national title. Two of your favorite wrestlers in all the world go at it for the men's championship, El Vacant. You have the reigning champion Undertaker defending against the Teflon Sheik.
Oh, God. I'm going to root for the lighting rig to fall into the match. Can we make that a dark match and just move on? Okay, no, can't do that title? Okay.
I'm afraid not.
On paper, I would guess the mortician guy is probably the favorite. But again, exactly what I said before about Teflon still applies here. He wins matches he shouldn't win, and he's made a career out of doing it. So honestly, if I were going to put money on this, I would put it on Teflon.
I tend to agree. I think there's some motivation there for Sheik to end the year on a high note. I think he knows he's got a huge challenge in Mithras. He wants to walk out of here with at least one title, and I certainly think he's got a better chance of doing it with the men's championship than he does the Platinum Dragon. DW defends the Estrogen title against former champion Maeve O'Hare at a rematch from Graveyard Smash a couple of months ago. Maeve, I'm sure she wants to get that title back from DW, who doesn't want DW to have it. And plus, right now, she also is currently holding two other titles. She would love to, for the first time in her career, to hold three. DW doesn't go down easy. Who do you like here?
I mean, I'm going to, first of all, ignore the very obvious setup you just gave me there about the going down. But moving forward, no, God, no, you can't say it. You can't say it. You can't say it. Family show. All right, I'm better. I'm good. In with the Gandhi, out with the Hitler. Right, good. All right. Right. Look, I think it's you know I'm biased on this one. No offense, Dominowar, I see you out there. You're an excellent champion. You're an excellent wrestler. But I can never pull against Maeve. I can't. I'm not allowed. She's a redhead. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't disagree. But again, this one's going to be very close. The odds makers are in neither's favor. I think this one's going to be right down the middle as well. Blake Effing Bradley defending the Midnight Hobo Championship against Dr. Kent. The doctor is in, but can he wrest that Midnight Hobo Championship away from Blake Effing Bradley?
No. No.
Okay.
I can elucidate if you'd like, but the answer is just simply no. First of all, it's Blake motherfucking Bradley.
You say you could hallucinate?
No, elucidate.
Okay.
Elucidate.
Okay.
It's your primary language.
Well, I realize that, but elucidate. Never mind. All right, fine. Would you expound on that?
Fine. So, ever since Blake has hit RAWF, he hit the ground. I don't think anyone can fault this. Love him, hate him, whatever. He hit the ground running. He made a very big splash right out of the gate, and he has been doing the impossible since he got here. And he's been winning titles. He's been making a name for himself. He's been running himself up the ranks nonstop. Now, he's also made some very interesting promotional deals for himself, and good for him. You know, it's a good way to get a little extra side income, which I respect. I like the – got to respect the hustle. He's earned my respect big time. This is a guy who I think is a future Hall of Famer in the RAWF if he stays on the course he is on. I call that right now.
Okay.
If he stays on the trajectory he's been on since he got here, he is going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, there's no doubt that he has been on a tear, and we will prove that further here and later in the program. But Blake Bradley, I have to agree with you. I don't know that Dr. Kent has the passion for the gold like Blake Bradley does. So we will see if I'm wrong. We may be wrong. We will find out. FUBAR City Championship. It'll be AF James defending against Chris Cage, the unsettled one, who also has to defend his White Lightning Championship tonight. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But AF James, Chris Cage, who has the edge as far as the FUBAR City Championship goes?
For that title, I think anyone betting against Christopher Cage is an idiot. For that title, for the FUBAR City title, you're going to put anyone in a fight with Christopher, unsettled Christopher Cage, in a no-rules match. Look, first of all, anyone who signs that contract, I have questions for, and most of them are, why? But other than that, look, I'm backing Chris on this 100%. This is 100% his match to lose, right? The only way he does not walk out of that match with that title is if he screws up. Because there's almost no one in this business more well-suited to a FUBAR City match than Chris Cage.
I don't disagree.
I would not be stunned if that lunatic showed up with a vest covered in C4 to the match. I wouldn't even be stunned. That was not a suggestion, Mr. Cage. I see you out there, and I see that grin.
All right. I can't disagree with that analysis. Money Sue will defend the Triple Crown Championship against the Immortal Griffith and Big Effin Hitman. Griffith, of course, a former Triple Crown champion. And we know his record against Money Sue is nearly spotless when it comes to big matches. But then you throw in Big Effin Hitman, a wild card in here. You stirred up real good. What do you get?
I think you're right that Big Effin Hitman is the wild card in this deck, right? If it was a one-on-one match, I would say it's Griffith all day long, because you're right. The history says when it comes to the big matches, Money Sue doesn't stand up to the pressure. I think it's going to boil down to, it's going to boil down to what happens between Effin and Immortal, right? My money is on the Immortal, but I think it's going to be a good match once the two of them finish beating the living hell out of Money Sue.
Now, it should be extremely interesting. Money Sue, of course, as he always does, especially when he's got a title, talking the talk right now. But we'll find out if he can walk the walk and hold that title into 2023. Starlight defends the Multimedia Championship against The Undertaker. Starlight's been a pretty steady Multimedia Champion thus far. This will be... Let me take a look here, because she has been Multimedia Champion since she won it at Cataclysm. Or rather, I think, actually, I'm sorry, she won it in a Fatal 4-Way back in, I want to say, early October. Since then, she's defended against Revy Gibson, Cassie Joe, and Aaron McFadden. She now, I would say, probably the toughest challenge of her Multimedia title reign in The Undertaker. But will she shine bright? leading into 2023?
I am hard pressed to go against Starlight at all. Like she is how to say this? She has she came in with not a ton of fanfare, and it took her a minute to get her feet under. But once she did, she established herself. She put herself in positions, you know, to get title shots, now have a title, to hold on to those titles, and she's been a very solid worker. Like, she just goes in, she does her matches, and she wins, and she's effective, you know? I'm not going to say that she's the best multimedia champion we've ever had, you know, because we usually prefer that champion to be a little more vocal on the multimedia, but, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, but at the end of the day, you know, when it comes time for someone to try and take her from her, she kicks their butt. So I think she's probably going to continue doing that.
All right. I can't disagree, but then Taker has turned things around over the last few months and gotten himself some gold. And he certainly has a little bit of momentum on his side as well. We find out. Simply the Best defends the Powerball Championship against Mithras the Title Machine, a former Powerball champion himself. This one's going to be a classic old-school Battle of the Titans for the richest prize, quote-unquote, richest prize in RAWF. Your thoughts?
That is going to be a hell of a match. Look, let's be clear. I don't think anyone would contradict me when I say that could be the headline of any pay-per-view in this industry at any time. That match. That match could be the headline. In this case, it's not. But, I mean, think about that. Like, these two men who could headline anywhere in the world are vying for this title in the middle of the card in RAWF. And that's not to take any away from them, right? That's just saying that's what it's like here in RAWF. That's like, you could be some of the best in the world and here's where you find yourself. But you know what? That's great for the RAWF fans, because that means, you know, you're not sitting there going through, oh, boring match, waiting for the main event. No. Every match is a main event, especially this one. This is going to be a hell of a match. And I'll be honest with you, I have no idea who's going to win. That could go any way from Sunday.
And probably will.
And probably will.
All right. This was reported earlier to me. Chris Cage defends the White Lightning Championship against Nightcrawler tonight. Nightcrawler, little double duty as well as Chris Cage. Of course, Chris Cage, a White Lightning and FUBAR City title matches tonight. It could get a little rough for him, but we'll find out. NC, of course, challenging Chris Cage for the White Lightning and then defending the world title against Deez. Who do you see walking out of there, the White Lightning champion, between these two, considering they both have big matches after?
Oh, man, I got to tell you. Look, so here's the thing. Normally I would say, look, obviously they're both going to kind of try and take it a little easy so that they can go, you know, do better later in the night and not wear themselves out. But here's the problem. Chris is insane, and he's not going to do that. He is going to go full bore, balls to the wall, in every match he has, because that's just who he is. I actually suspect that Chris is gonna win. I really think Chris is gonna beat the world champion, because this isn't what the world champion concentration is gonna be on. He has to focus on his main event at the end of the night. He has to. His goal in this match isn't gonna be, oh, get this title. It's gonna be get out of this match intact. And if one person is going in there to win and one person's going in there to not get hurt, I'm going to vote on the person going in to win every time.
All right. We also have a Champions Choice Championship match tonight. Vex to Vend against Penelope Washington. And this one gets a little complicated. Let me just pull up this long. So this is a Washington crosses the Delaware match. It's all about choices. Penelope must pick only one move from each given set of two move choices and use those choices throughout the match. Penelope, of course, may not use defense, power defense, or fatigue boost. The match is set to cage match settings, so she cannot take the easy road out. She can use headbutt or head slap, backhand chop or European uppercut, elbow drop or elbow strike, mandible claw or cobra clutch, body slam or German suplex, or suicide dive. In the move set directly before attempting to pin Vex, Penelope must complete more armbar by applying 5 or more armbar holds in a row. If she fails or is blocked, she has to start over in the next set. So, yeah, that's in other words, Penelope has to dance through a lot of freaking hoops if she wants to have any chance of unseating Vex as Champions Choice Champion. Did you catch all that?
No. I'm really happy I'm not in that match because I'd stand there going, what do I do?
Exactly. And I'm sure Penelope feels the same. But that is indeed the situation Miss Washington finds herself in against Vex in the Champions Choice Championship match. Also, the finals of the Rebels versus Empires is happening tonight at Jingle Hell Rock. It is D's versus Simply the Best. Simply the Best and D's, so they both are double duty as well tonight. Rebels versus Empires. I'm not sure if you're too familiar with the event, but it starts out as a team event and then goes on until only two men are left standing. These are the two men. 100,000 coins on the line here. Who do you like? Just off the top of your head, or do you think either men will be more looking forward to their match going forward?
I'm sorry, I'm still trying to figure out this other match for Penelope. So wait, they have to do like 800 arm bars and then do what?
It's all described in the scene.
I'm sorry. Move on. What match are we talking about now?
We are talking about the Rebels versus Empires finale between D's and Simply the Best.
Oh, that's going to be another really good match. But you're absolutely right. They're both going to have their concentrations on other matches that night. And now it's not quite the same as I was saying before, because they're not, you know, this isn't a hardcore, oh my God, someone could park a Bentley on your chest kind of match. Do we get extra money every time we mention the Bentley? Because I could say Bentley more often. Like, it's not even hard to say Bentley. No? All right, never mind. I think both men are going to have to, you know, be smart about this match. But because they're both going to be in that same boat, I think it kind of equals the playing field, and it kind of brings us back to square one. And that being said, right now, I would say that I would go with D's. Ask me again in a week, and I may change my opinion. But right now, with the way things have been, D's.
All right. Then we go to the annual Candy Cane on a Pole match featuring Judgment. He's taking on Joe Boo. And, of course, there's some history there, as Joe Boo last year in the Candy Cane Battle Royal eliminated Judge fairly early. Not giving him a real opportunity to compete. But then Judgment later the year pulled a fast one on Joe Boo in their Champions Choice match. That one, of course, was, you know, Judge could start the match at any time. Joe Boo wouldn't have no clue, and Judge managed to pull that off without Joe Boo realizing it. And so Joe Boo looking for possibly a little revenge to beating Judge in his annual Candy Cane All Pole match. Who do you like here?
I'll be honest, I don't see any way to like vote against Judge on a Candy Cane in a pole match. History says he's going to win this match.
I kind of agree. Joe Boo's been kind of quiet lately, so maybe Joe Boo's not feeling it as late here in 2022. We'll see. Maybe Judge catches him by surprise. We find out tonight. And then there's the season's beating ladder match between Aaron McFadden and the returning power player, Luke Cage. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Luke Cage returning to action in RAWF tonight here at Jingle Hell Rock. That was the man that Eric McFadden wouldn't spill the beans that he was returning, but we found out tonight when he made his entrance to the ring against Eric McFadden, it is indeed the power player is back. So, that being said, Eric McFadden, of course, Luke Cage is probably a bit rusty. Been a while since we've seen him, almost a year, as a matter of fact. But the power player, as we know, one of the strongest individuals pound for pound. I doubt he got any weaker in his year off. I'm sure he kept in great shape, and he certainly looks it. But Eric McFadden, this is kind of his thing, this season's beating ladder match. Who do you like?
I got to go with the power player. I just he's had all this time downtime. He's probably been doing nothing but training. How do you go against him?
All right. We find out tonight. Now, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, there's still one other matter to take care of, and that is the Tag Team Championship. But before I take care of that, I need to read this report from Unstoppabot. It is the official tag team report, the final. The final top five tag teams are, in first place, the Godslayers, Maeve O'Hare, and the Immortal Griffith, the reigning tag team champions. In second place, Deezen Mithras, which of course is Deezen Mithras. In third place, Dungeons and Dragons, which is the Paragon of Greatness and Nox Boogie. Two tied for fourth place are Hotness Overload, Menzino and Brew, and Shaken Blake, the Teflon Sheik and Blake Effin Bradley. And Amore, three-way tie for fourth place, and Amore, DW, and Slashy. The full top 10 of season 10 has been posted in the scene and the tags top 10 scene. Congrats to the Godslayers who came in first place and will be choosing their opponent for the tag team titles at Jingle Hell Rock. Also, the new season of tags is open for signups and will be closing this Sunday in 2 days. And the extra points tournament is now open for signups. You'll have 1 week to get in. That from our tag team GM, Unstoppabot. So the Godslayers will defend the tag team titles tonight at Jingle Hell Rock. However, they get to choose their opponents, and we will find out from the Godslayers tonight who those opponents are in just mere moments. But so with that being said, El Vacant, I've given you a couple of lists.
Yes.
Let's start off with, we'll get the rankings in progress, if you would. Start with that.
No, I can do that. All right, anyway, so this is the top 25 for the new period. We are only doing 4 out of 10 matches here so far, so, you know, we got a little ways to go. But first I'm going to take a little sip of my drinky drink here. Give me a moment. All right, here we go. In 25th place, we have Magnificent Michael. That's fun to say. In 24th place, we have Ali Knight. In 23rd place, we have The Moose. In 22nd place, we have The Immortal Griffith. In 21st place, we have A.F. James. In 20th place, we have Kayla the Governess. In 19th place, we have Teflon Sheik. In 18th place, we have Simply the Best. In 17th place, we have Hacha Chaz. In 16th place, we have Starlight. In 15th place, we have Killa Neptune. In 14th place, we have it's the Wolf. That's right, in 14th place. Okay, I'm never doing that again. That was silly. In 13th place, we have Denzel the Giant. In 12th place, we have Nightcrawler. In 11th place, we have Blake Motherfucking Bradley. In 10th place, we have Davila. In 9th place, we have Uber Vegan TPO. We currently have a tie for 7th place between Hobo Ezekiel and Mithras the Title Machine. In 6th place, we don't get a lot of ties, actually. That's kind of funny. In 6th place, we have Christopher Cage. Wait, why does it not say this? No, you almost made me not say one of my favorite catch lines. No. The most aptly named man in all of wrestling, the unsettled Christopher Cage. In 5th place, we have Diesel Warrior. Hey, I see you out there. In 4th place, we have the person whose name I hate saying, so I'm just going to call them Mortician. In 3rd place, we have Strangleheart. Oh, look at this. In second place, we have newcomer Penelope Washington. And in first place, our current number one, what's the word I want? The guy going for the belt. What's the word? Number one contender. That's it. Number one contender. These. So there you go. That is your top 25. Four matches in.
Yep, and it's only four matches in. It does not. It's still a lot, long ways to go there. Still got quite a few, but some interesting how some names are starting out hot. You don't normally see people like Allie Knight in there or the Moose, the Wolf at 14. That's a surprise. And, of course, like as you mentioned, Penelope Washington, I told you, I mentioned she is going to be dangerous, Elvake, and I've said that a couple times, I think, and I stick by that. I think this right here kind of proves it. She's surging early, and we will see how she finishes this rankings period, but should be very, very interesting. All right. So, how was your Christmas, Elvake? Did you have a good one?
Quite good, actually. Thank you for asking.
How is Abuela? Did you go down?
Baking like crazy. She's having a grand old time. She actually, for the first time in forever, came back to Mexico to the compound because, you know, she's been staying with the elf all this time because apparently they're like best compadres now. But I think it's just the elf loves her cooking and won't let her leave. But I don't know. But she, you know, she came home for the holidays. All the family came from all over the world, really, because, you know, we're all wrestlers and we travel. But we all came back to the family compound, and you know, we did up a good traditional Mexican Christmas. It's Navidad. It's fun. It's good.
All right. Well, awesome. Glad you had a good Christmas. I certainly had a good one as well, and I appreciate. I hope everybody here in RAWF had a well Christmas and had a safe Christmas and have a safe Happy New Year. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But let's time to bring on, ladies and gentlemen. Not only is he the reigning Supreme Fighter champion and vying for the Triple Crown championship tonight, he and his partner Mabel Hare, aka the Godslayers, will defend the tag team titles against a team of their choice. They hopefully will be making that announcement right here on this program. Let's bring on welcome the immortal Griffith. Good evening, Griffith.
Good evening, sir.
How was your Christmas, sir? Hope it was a good one.
Oh, quite good. Season of giving and all that.
Oh, good. You seem in joyful spirits this evening. I'm sure it has something to do with that Triple Crown Championship, at least a little bit. Would you like to care to give your thoughts on that match tonight?
How could I ask for anything more? I've got my Supreme Title Championship is still sitting on one shoulder. The Tag Team Championship is back where it rightfully belongs on my left shoulder. And tomorrow I get to take a title away from the single most obnoxious man I have ever met in my life, Money Sue. It's a great season. It's a good time to be alive.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. I'm glad you feel that way. So, you mentioned Money Sue, but, you know, there is one other person in that match. Just saying. Big Effin, are you making sure that he's in there, too, that you got your eye on him at all times, not just Money Sue?
I mean, have I or have I not won this title before?
You have. You absolutely have.
So I understand how it works. I understand there's three people in that ring, and I understand I have to watch my back at all times. And, you know, and am I worried about Big Effin? Well, I mean, more than I'm worried about Money Sue, but hugely more.
Okay, fair enough. But so looking forward to seeing if you can become a two-time Triple Crown champion tonight. But the main goal here, the main decision, have the Godslayers, you and Maeve, decided on an opponent for tonight's tag team title match, since you did finish number one and get to choose out of the top 10?
Well, I mean, we've discussed it, although, I mean, I feel like she should be here for that. I guess the tag team's not just me and
good
the person.
Point.
The tag
good match. Point. Good point. Let's bring her in, ladies and gentlemen. The other half of the Godslayers, let's bring in.
Oi, Irish, move your ass.
Christmas. I hope you had a good holiday. So, how are you?
Good evening, Goldsmith. You know, you could have said please, English.
I mean, I could have.
All right. All right, so let's take a look before you announce your decision, guys, at some of the teams that are eligible that were in the top 10 as well as you. You have Deez and Mithras, which is to say a very tough team, tough enough single-handedly, let alone as a team, are those two. Then, of course, the Hall of Fame team of Dungeons and Dragons, former tag team champions several times over. And then, of course, there is Amore, who also a pretty darn tough team. Hotness Overload, that could be an interesting matchup. Those two, of course, husband and wife team, know what they've been a team for years. Shake and Blake, which is interesting. You have Teflon Sheik and Blake Bradley there. Los Locos, which I believe is Mark Caliber and, want to say, Mark Caliber and who?
Chaz.
Mark Caliber and Chaz. Certainly a team to be reckoned with. You have Howling Asylum, which is the Wolf and Dr. Kent. And another interesting tag team there. And let's see. There it is. The Oblivion Express, Fire Chief Bill and Aaron McFadden. And the Harbingers of Destruction. Looking for that one.
I believe that's R.A. and Conk.
R.A. and Conk. Okay. No, Conk and Revelations, not R.A.
Wow.
Conk. R.A.
Revelations. I knew it was Conk.
Conk and Revelation. So, who is it going to be? Who have you decided after looking over that list, and who will be fighting you for the tag team titles this evening?
Well, you know, we haven't had a long time to discuss this. You know, we just found out, but you know, and maybe please jump in if I'm wrong here. I don't want to speak for you, but we chatted briefly, and you know, I keep saying, and I do believe this is the season of giving. And by winning the season, we were given the opportunity to give a gift, right? Give a gift to someone who has earned it, who has earned the right to step in into the spotlight with the God Slayers and try and take these tag team titles from us. And, you know, and if that's the position we're in, I feel like that it should go to someone worthy. And when I mean worthy, I don't necessarily mean like, oh, they have the best record. I mean someone, you know, we're not going to reward someone for poor sportsmanship. We're not going to reward people who, you know, are go out of their way to be annoying. We're not going to reward people who, you know, say disparaging things about our character. Like, it's just, we're not going to do that. Why would we do that? Why, you know, this is the holiday season. And if we're going to spend quality time in a ring with somebody, it should be someone who really wants to be there, who has a fire in their belly, and, you know, and that fire should be stoked and rewarded. You know, and we briefly spoke, and we had a first thought. We had a person in mind, but then someone opened their mouth and they said something, and we both kind of looked at each other, and I think we just sort of agreed. So, Chaz, tell your partner to get suited up and get ready.
Oh, so that's the team of Los Locos then. Mark Caliber and Hotshot Chaz.
Specifically because of his words here tonight.
Well, you know, sometimes talking like that gets you what you want, and that certainly is what happened here, I think. So I will make sure that match what's that?
We both like Chaz. Why not make sure that he gets a nice paycheck, even if he don't get to take a shiny belt home with him?
All right. So that is the matchup. It'll be the God Slayers defending against Los Locos here tonight at Jingle Hell Rock. The tag team titles on the line. Ah, very nice. All right. That just in, ladies and gentlemen. So, Maeve, while we got you here, you're challenging DW tonight for the Usher Championship, trying to become a 3-belt holder tonight. You are already Ultimate Gauntlet Champion, which, congratulations, by the way, if we hadn't already congratulated you. And, of course, 1/2 of the tag team titles. Looking to add the estrogen title back into your trophy case. Talk to me about facing DW tonight.
I mean, as all the fans can tell you, I've done it before. No doubt I'll do it again, no matter how the match turns out. DW is always interesting to face. It's always a little different. She's never quite the same twice. And I mean that in a good way, that she learns and she adapts. She always gives me a better fight than I had the last time with her. But as much as I enjoy being maybe 2 belts, I really think I'd enjoy being maybe 3 belts even more. So I said she's better to give than to receive, but in this case I might change my mind and say that I'd be happy to receive that estrogen title again.
Okay. And it should be a really good match. Of course, she defeated you a couple months ago to win that estrogen title, looking for a little payback and walk up Jingle Hell Rock, possibly with 3 titles, which would be the most you've held at one time in your RAWF career. So looking to finish 2022 with a bang. Any final thoughts from either of you on any of the matches we've talked about?
Me or her?
We'll start with her. Ladies first.
I mean, I ain't a lady, but I will say, Boss Man, I think out of everyone, you might be benefiting the most. Look how many matches you're getting out of just the two of us. That's got to pad your bottom.
I mean, you're not wrong. She's not wrong. She's not wrong at all.
But now I'm excited, as I always am, for an RWF pay-per-view. It means a lot to hold gold in this company because you got to do a hell of a lot to get this, even more to hold on to it. And more than anything, I'm excited to defend the RWF tag belt with the best tag partner I've ever had.
All right. And it's going to be, certainly could be a huge night for you, Maeve, and good luck to you on all of those matches. Griff, your thoughts?
My thoughts. So, well, we already know how I feel about Money Sue. I've made that abundantly clear. I am looking forward to see who my next opponent for the Supreme Championship will be. I don't believe we know that as yet, which means it's going to be a little bit. But I am looking forward to that. I always enjoy defending that title. But the tag title, I've said this before, the belt has always had a special place for me. I took myself out of the division a little while ago, and it took me a while to find the right combination of things, to find the mojo, I guess is the best way to say it. And Maeve and I decided to try it out in an indie fed, and we did really well there. And then we decided, why not? Let's go and take on, the best tag teams in the world. And we entered, I'm a lark. We entered Tag Mania. And then while representing this great company, we won Tag Mania. And if we're going to win Tag Mania, we decided, well, we can't represent REWF and win this thing and not go after the actual tag team titles. And here we are now holding them. And I will tell you, I have held almost every single title in this company, and very few of them stand up to the tag titles for me. I really enjoy having the tag team championship. And this evening we were allowed to choose our opponents, and I chose someone who showed me that they had the fire. They weren't going to give up. They were going to keep trying to succeed no matter what was thrown in their way. And I respect that and I appreciate that. So we gave him a shot. Mark, when you hear this, assuming you do, thank Chaz for that, because he earned you this shot tonight by his attitude. We're not going to get that choice every month. We may face people we don't particularly care for. We may face people we genuinely dislike. But I will tell you this, as long as the Godslayers have these titles, we will defend them to the best of our ability against anyone that's put in front of us.
All right. That being said, good luck to you, Griff, and your matches tonight as well. And happy new year to both you and Maeve. I hope you all have a good one. And 2023, looking forward to 2023 and seeing what everybody, not just you two, but everybody does in RAWF. All right, that was the tag team champions, the Godslayers. They look to walk out of Jingle Hell Rock still the champions, still loaded with gold. We find out tonight if that indeed happens. All right, El Vacant, it's now time to reveal the final rankings, the final overall rankings for the year, calendar year of 2022. 10 rankings periods in the books. Who were the top 25 wrestlers in RAWF in 2022?
Well, there's a list, and there's 25 of them. I have it right here.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure, if people were able to see it, they would know too. Oh, you want me to read it? You want me to tell them?
Okay. I'm waiting, yes.
All right.
Yes, please.
So here, all right, this is for the year, right? This is like all 10 periods spoken for in the bank. This is where people fell out. In 25th place, we have Nightcrawler. In 24th place, we have Davila. In 23rd place, we have Hacha Chaz. In 22nd place, we have AF James. in 21st place we have, I don't like saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway, The Undertaker. In 20th place we have The Cougar. In 19th place we have Money Sue. In 18th place we have Starlight. In 17th place we have Strangleheart. In 16th place we have Eva. In 15th place we have Denzel the Giant. I'm actually a little surprised by that because I don't think he was here all year. In 14th place we have Claymore. In 13th place we have Christopher Cage. In 12th place we have Kane the Governor. In 11th place we have Maeve O'Hare. That leaves us with our top 10. That's right, the top 10 of the year in order are 10th place Joe Boo. 9th place the Teflon Sheik. 8th place Blake Bradley. 7th place Hobo Ezekiel. 6th place the Immortal Griffith. 5th place the Diesel Warrior. In 4th place we have Deez. In 3rd place the Paragon of Greatness. In 2nd place Simply the Best. And that leaves us in first place for the year with, I believe this is 3 years running, Mithras the Title Machine.
It is indeed 3 years running, Mithras the Title Machine, the number one wrestler as far as points go in RAWF. And it was actually not even close this year. So kudos to Mithras. He is the only man only person on this list who was in the top 10. And in the top 10, all 10 rankings periods. And he was number one 4 times. So, yeah, it wasn't with 2 extra point tournament wins, by far, Mithras the Title Machine was the overall points winner. Only 4 people, actually, Mithras was the only person to make the top 10 in all 10 rankings. Simply the Best did it 9 times. Paragon of Greatness and Deez each did it 8 times. 4 people made the top 25 in all 10 rankings periods. Mithras, Simply the Best, Deez, and Hobo Ezekiel were all in the top 10 in all 10 rankings periods. Paragon did it 9 times. DW and the Immortal Griffith did it 8 times apiece. Kane the Governor did it 9 times, apparently, and as did the Unsettled Chris Cage. Claymore, Maeve O'Hare, Joe Boo, and the Teflon Sheik all did it 8 times. So that was, yeah, the top 25 for the year. Nightcrawler, of course, came in 25th place. This was only competing in 6 of the 10 rankings periods. So you can imagine if he'd been here all year, he'd be a lot higher. That was the overall points for 2022. Should be an interesting year in 2023. See if Mithras can do it 4 years in a row. We shall see. All right, let's take a look back at some of the titles, and how many times they changed hands. Did you know, El Vacant, that this year, and it was a rarity, certainly, but we had, I want to double check on this real quick, because I want to look. Was 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 thus far. Be honest, to be fair, it's thus far. It could possibly be 7, but right now, we have had 6 different world champions this year, which is a record. I haven't had that many world title changes in several years. So 6 different world champions. You had STB, the Immortal Griffith, Strangleheart, Mithras, Teflon Sheik, Nightcrawler. 6, and could possibly have 7 if Deez defeats Nightcrawler tonight. Let's talk about the year in review as far as the world title goes. What's your outlook on that? That we got some new names in there in the world title picture.
I think it's, you know, I've been saying this for a little bit. I've been saying for a while, I really like the fact that, you know, some of the new blood has really stepped up and shown themselves to be, you know, worthy competitors in RAWF ring. I really like seeing, you know, look, I nothing against, you know, the top superstars, as it were, but I really liked seeing, you know, the new younger faces coming in and making names for themselves. I think it keeps it fresh. I think it keeps it interesting for everybody. You know, Immortal Greatness is great to watch, but do we need to see it 817 times? I don't know.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, yes, we that. In contrast, however, we only had one Platinum Dragon champion the entire year of 2023, unless he loses it tonight. So something else for him to fight for. Unless he loses it tonight, Mithras the Title Machine will be the only man who held the Platinum Dragon champion in the year of 2022, showing once again what a dominant force the Title Machine indeed is, that he could hold the heart and soul of RAWF for that long, for an entire year, calendar year like that, just proves he is definitely one of the top talents and always has been here in RAWF. Agreed?
Yes. I mean, how do you argue that? How do you argue it? You don't.
Absolutely. You can't. Yeah, that was dominance personified. National title? I got to count that. So, Chris Cage started the year as national champion. And he went on to tie the record, or to be the longest reigning national champion in RAWF history. He kept that title until Immortal, when Eva defeated him. And she went on to lose that title at Rataversary to Denzel the Giant. So there's three different national champions. Denzel then lost it due to injury at Cataclysm to D, so what are we up to? Four now. Four national champions. D's lost it. So five different national champions, as Beast defeated D's here at Black Friday. Could be six. So, but the national title is one that very rarely gets a long reign, although Chris Cage and Vex both have had long reigns with that national championship. And I could go over every title, but we'll just talk about the main titles here. Midnight Hobo was, start with Love Hurts. It started the year as Maeve as Midnight Hobo champion. She held that title until Rataversary, where she lost it to D's. So that's two. D's then turned around and lost it to Blake Bradley at Philadelphia Freedom, and he's held it ever since. So only three Midnight Hobo champions, possibly four, but three right now. Blake Bradley has been champion since July. So it's a pretty good reign so far by Blake Bradley. He's getting off to a good start as Midnight Hobo champion. What's your analysis?
What did I say?
Yeah, exactly. You definitely off to a good start there. No doubt about that. Let's talk about the Fubar City title now. And, of course, we started out the year with the Hawkster Bully as Fubar City champion. He held that title until Rataversary, where he lost it to Uber Vegan TPO. TPO then lost it 2 months later at Tropical Aggression to Eva. So we're up to three. Eva then lost it to Papa Shaker, which is four. Papa Shaker then lost it to AF James, so we're up to five. That's five. Five different Fubar City champions, possibly six if AF James loses it tonight. So that was the Fubar City run. Triple Crown Championship. We started out the year. Griff won the Triple Crown. Wildfire was actually Triple Crown champion. She lost it at Love Hurts to the Immortal Griffith, who went on to successfully defend that until Tropical Aggression, where Chris Cage defeated Griff NDW to become Triple Crown champion. Cage then lost it the following month back to DW, to DW. So we're up to three. DW then lost it at Black Friday to Money Sue. So four Triple Crown champions thus far this year. Could be five, depending on what happens in tonight's match. So we're seeing it's about the same across the board, except for the first two there, Al Vacant, as far as title changes here in RAWF.
It seems to be a pattern.
It does seem to be a pattern here. It was a very interesting year as far as pay-per-views go. What was your favorite moment of 2022, El Vacant?
Well, it sure as hell wasn't when somebody decided to bounce people off of my taco truck.
How many times did that happen? Three times. That's more. Oh, shoot.
People have against my truck, man. I'm just trying to feed people out here.
Let's talk a little Jingle Hell Rock history, if we can. World Heavyweight Championship has changed hands. 1, 2, 3. Only three times in Jingle Hell Rock history has the world title changed hands. Back in 2015, Canadian Enforcer won the World Heavyweight Championship from Tank Girl. In 2015, Salek defeated Alec Remington to win the world title. And then since 2015, it has only happened one other time at Jingle Hell Rock. That was in 2016. I'm sorry, four times. 2016, Gav defeated the Immortal Griffith, and then it didn't happen again until 2020 when Claymore defeated the Immortal Griffith to win the World Heavyweight Championship for the second time. So, been quite a few there, world title changes at Jingle Hell Rock, but it has been one of our favorite pay-per-views, no doubt about it. Of course, you got the Candy Cane on a Pole matches we have every year with Judgment, who isn't here tonight, must be preparing for that match, busy. He must be taking it seriously because he's not here. But, that has been the year in review pretty much. I thought that we had, of course, let's see. Trying to remember, wasn't STB this year that won the Xanther? Who won the Xanther again? I want to say, Denzel the Giant. Denzel the Giant had himself a bit of a year, even though he did take a break or did have an injury, but he still made the top 25 overall in 15th place. Let's talk about some of these people that finished in the top 25. Actually, Nightcrawler, we know how his end of the year went better than just about everybody's. He, as I said, only competed in six of the 10 rankings periods, but he sure finished on a high note there. And won himself the World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, let's not jinx him because it's not over technically yet.
Well, this is true. This is true. But, you know, as far as the calendar year, as far as points go, he certainly did himself a favor in those last three periods. And overall, he was number one once, three top 10 finishes, and five top 25. So, five of his six periods he ranked in the top 25. So he definitely has the ability. It's not a shocker, to say the least. And who knows how high he would have finished had he stayed in,
right?
Had he not.
Well, actually, I'll tell you what. I think if he hadn't taken that downtime, I don't think he'd be where he is. I think that downtime made him refocus, heal up, and really look at what he wanted from his career. So when he came back, like the Nightcrawler that came back was not the guy who left. It just didn't. And that's no insult to him. You know, sometimes people just get that aha moment, right? And their career takes off. And something happened during that break that was that moment for him, and he came back, and we're all watching how that went.
Yeah. So, I mean, kudos to Nightcrawler for finishing the year as he did. Of course, as you said, it's not finished yet, so we can't quite say that. Hell of a year for Nightcrawler. It could have been so much more. Let's talk about Let's see here. Well, another interesting one is Strangleheart, who also during the year won the World Heavyweight Championship. He had a pretty good mid-year, finished in a 17th place, probably the best year he's had. Two top 10 finishes, four top 25 finishes. Strangleheart, despite what people think of him, he's a force to reckon with, and he's certainly a dangerous individual. And I could see him, if things fall right for him, getting back to the top of the mountain, despite what people may think about that. It's a possibility. Would you agree or disagree?
So here's my thing. I think Strangleheart is good in the ring. I don't think he's as good as he thinks he is, but he's good. He is a solid wrestler. And I think too many people underestimate him on the regular, right? On the regular, people go in there thinking, oh, it's Strangleheart, blah, blah, blah. And that's a mistake, right? Like, he is good. And look, I mean, I hear a lot of people say that he's lucky. You know what? He kind of is. Sometimes things break his way. But look, I think every great general has always said they'd rather be lucky than good, right? You know, sometimes luck is what it takes to win a fight. And if he has the ability to have, you know, something go his way and he can then capitalize on it, that's a skill. So good for him. I don't really like the guy. I think he's kind of annoying. But I don't have to like him for him to be a good wrestler, for him to succeed. And I think he's shown that. You know, he had the world championship for a minute. He said he came in 17th for the year. I think the numbers speak for themselves.
Agreed. We will see if he can get back there in 2023. As we read earlier, he's off to a pretty decent start in the rankings period. Eva, of course, finished just ahead of him in 16th place. She held multiple titles before having to take a respite in the last rankings period. But she was definitely talented, and if she were to come back, she definitely, I think, would be making some noise. What are your thoughts on Eva's year here in RAWF?
I agree. It was a shame that things pulled her away. I'm hoping she does find her way back to us someday. She was quite talented. She was, creepy as fuck, but very talented. And was, climbing her way up the REWF ladder pretty rapidly. And I'd like to see where that goes if she finds her way back to us.
Another person who, quote-unquote, retired this year was Claymore. Of course, he's a Hall of Famer, multi-time world title and tag team title and all kinds of titles he held in his career. But unfortunately decided to put his boots aside, leave his boots in the ring, as it were. But if this is the last time we've seen of Claymore, how do you think rates? How do you think he ranks in the annals? And I said annals, not anals. Annals of RAWF history. where do you think he ranks?
All right. I'm going to have to say this. I'll be a professional. As much as I hate Claymore as a person, I respect him as a wrestler. He is extremely, extremely talented. And no one can take that away. You may not like him. You may not like his tactics. You may not like how he gets where he gets. But there is no arguing that when that bell rings, you are in the ring with one of the best in the game. Right? Like, this guy is just good. And I can't take that away. No matter how much I dislike him, I cannot take that away from him. That being said, if we never see him back in the RAWF, that would be the day I throw a party, okay?
How can you throw a party if he never comes back?
If it becomes clear that it's never going to happen. If we have definitive, this will never happen, there will be a party.
Oh, okay. So in other words, he has to die.
Or be paralyzed, or lose an arm or a leg, or go blind. There's lots of ways he could be done.
I suppose that's true.
Have to get a zombie knee.
The unsettled Chris Cage. First of all, he is the highest ranked on this list that never made the top 10 the entire year. He
really?
Did not make the top. Yes, really? But still managed to finish in 13th place because he was in the top 20.
If you had asked me how many times he had made the top 10, I would have just assumed it's got to be at least 3-4 times, right? Like,
right.
I would have just assumed.
Yeah, no. He was in the top 10 zero times in 10 rankings periods, yet he still finished 13th overall. This is how dangerous this man can be. And this is something else right here. Chris Cage is one of those I'm waiting. Well, he's certainly one of the best here in RWF. He's a Hall of Famer. But I'm waiting for him to take that next step. He's been national champion on occasion. When do we see him go further? And if he does, what kind of trouble are we looking at as far as the World Heavyweight Championship or the Platinum Dragon Championship goes, LVA?
So you know this. I mean, how long have I been supporting that Christopher Cage is going to be one of the next big things around here? Like, I've been saying that for a while, and I still believe it. That statistic about not being in the top 10 aside, right? I don't think it matters because, like you said, it is countered by the fact that he was never in the top 10, but he came in 13th overall for the year. And if he was never in the top 10, that means he was solidly in the top 11, 12, 13th all year long, right? He had to have been to be in that position if he's never been in the top 10. So he has been solidly, like, in the middle of the top pack all year long. And, you know, that may sound like a backhanded compliment, but I don't mean it as such. Like, what that tells me is that he's right there. He's on that cusp, which is what I've been saying. He just needs to find that thing, that one thing, kind of like NC did, right? Nightcrawler went away, and I'm not saying Chris has to go away and do it. I'm just saying, you know, Nightcrawler went away. He found that thing. He came back. Boom, look where he is. Nightcrawler's got to find that thing for him. What is that thing that will spark what he needs to take that final step to get past that last barrier? And when he gets that, nothing's going to stand in his way.
Agreed. And it could very well happen in 2023 for the unsettled one, we find out. Kane the Governor on this list for the first time, I believe, in the top. No, actually, he was on the list last year as well. He came
in 21st. He was last year, yes.
He was in 21st. He moved up to 12th this year. So getting better, getting some momentum under him, although he only had one top 10 finish. You think it's very long before we see Kane the Governor towards the top of the RAWF mountain, or do you think he's already peaked?
So I feel like Kane is almost the exact opposite of where I am with Chris Cage. Kane already has what it takes in the ring. I just don't know that he has the motivation to push himself beyond where he is currently in the company. Like, I feel like he's comfortable where he is, you know, and if that changes and something lights a fire under his ass, then yeah, he could be one of the top of the top, but I just don't see it. Like, within Cage's point, that fire is there. Like, it's very obvious. This is a man who wants that story to be about him. That's what he wants. Like, he wants, when someone goes to RAWF.com, he wants that story at the top of the page to be Chris, holy shit, what the fuck did he do, Cage? That's what he wants, right? And I mean, sometimes it's like that anyway, even though he's not in the top 10. But regardless, you know, there's a fire there. And I don't think Kane has that fire. And unless something lights that fire, I think he's going to live right around where he lives right now.
All right. So, fair enough. We'll talk about some more people here in a little bit, but first we've got another guest to bring on. Ladies and gentlemen, she is a reigning Champions Choice Champion. She is an RAWF Hall of Famer. She had herself a pretty good year in 2022 as well. Let's talk to...
Your corner, last thing I need is my head underwater.
interim and reigning Champions Choice champion and Hall of Famer, Lady Vex. Good evening, Vex.
Good evening, LA. How are you?
Oh, hi.
Hey, Megan. How was Christmas?
Pretty good. With the family down in Mexico, where it was nice and warm. Well, it wasn't actually as warm as I would like to be. It's for Mexico, it's actually pretty cold, but it was a hell of a lot warmer than it was up in the Northeast.
That's good.
So, Vex, real quick, let's talk about your 2022. And you might be curious to know, because you were inactive for the first half of the year. You only participated in 5 rankings periods out of 10. But you still ended up being 28th place.
That's not bad. I mean, knowing where I fell in the rankings, the months that I was there, I had to work my ass off to get there. So that's not bad for 5 out of 10.
Yeah, and in all 5 of those rankings periods, you finished in the top 10. So it was very interesting, considering you did a half the year. If I were to multiply your points by 2 and say, and as an average, say, and see what that would have put you in 4th place overall for the year.
Yeah, that's about where I usually end up, isn't it?
Yeah, just about.
that's the kind of thing I expect from the people that do get put into the RAWF Hall of Fame. Not that, anyone that's a Hall of Famer and doesn't do it is, slacking, but that's definitely the kind of thing I expect. If you've held the titles that I've held and the number of titles that I've held at a time, and you can't make that kind of a ranking when you do put some effort forth, then you've probably forgotten what got you there in the first place, right?
And, you were worried when you first came back that it was rusty, but obviously you weren't. I mean, you were right. You were in the mix from the very beginning, so pretty good, a solid year for you once you did come back, no doubt about it. But tonight, Champions Choice Championship on the line against Penelope Washington. I've already read the steps. I really don't want to read them again. But can you explain to me the thought process this had? That, I mean, what were you doing?
I'm
going to
translate
up
all that, and I'm going to simplify too. The fuck?
Yeah.
you saw Penelope last month. You saw what she did in the short ranking period to get all the title shots that she got. And talent like that doesn't go unnoticed. You recall when Maeve first came around, I said, talent like that doesn't go unnoticed. And we noticed. And here she is in the Hall of Fame, right? Penelope and I had a match. Might have been an estrogen tournament match. I don't remember where it was. But the subject of tags had come up. And I remember I had said something to her in the tag thing about, it's not a good idea to make friends. You got to make them out of clay or snow or mud or voodoo dolls or whatever it is. But I asked her if she had made friends enough with someone to get a tag partner at the time. And she said no, that there was a shadow of her former employer hanging over her head when she was looking for a tag partner. And that kind of rang something in me. Because I do understand that when you've been associated with someone, a lot of people don't want to work with you. There's been a lot of people that have caught hell for associating with me, or that have been thought to be associating with me. And, she didn't quite make it this month like she did last month. Not that she didn't do very good, because she did, but sometimes the chips fall in a different place. And I thought, it's time for her to cross that river. It's time for her to get out there and be in at least one title match in every pay-per-view she can be in. I don't have to worry about that with Maeve. Maeve's there. She spread her wings and she flew. I don't have to sit here and go, all right, where's my girl going to go? But now I can sit here and go, let's see where this one goes. I've said it time and time again. I'd like to see more women at the top of this company. And Penelope could be one of them. She could absolutely be one of them. So I thought about it. And looking at some of the old moves versus some of the new moves. So you've got headbutt, which is kind of replaced by head slap. You have backhand chop. That one used to be everybody's opener. That used to be how everybody hit you, because close fist punch used to be a DQ move. Well, now you got European uppercut. Elbow drop, greatly improved by the elbow strike. Mandible claw, improved by the cobra clutch. Body slam, massively improved by the German suplex. And the SST, while it has not been replaced by the suicide dive, you see way more suicide dives in an RIWF show than you do see SSPs. So that's where I went. But then I had to throw one back to the old school. I thought about my old friend Belkin and how he had the Underground More Armbar Society. And I threw this one back to him, that if she is going to pin me, she has to perform the More Armbar. And if she manages that, then she has definitely arrived here in RAWF, and I will greet her with open arms. If she doesn't, hey, she's got next month to do what she can do. But if she does it this month, then by all means, she can absolutely hold that belt.
It should absolutely be an interesting matchup tonight between you and Penelope, no doubt about it. So, Vex, now that 2022 is winding down, it's time to start thinking ahead to 2023. It's going to be a bit of a different year in RAWF, a couple less pay-per-views, a couple less opportunities for people to shine. What are your goals for 2023 in RAWF? What is it you're looking for to do in RAWF in 2023?
You know, there's always the titles that I haven't held, and you know those titles are always on my mind. You know, I can't do much about not holding Saturday night. I just got to wait for the dice to roll in my direction that way. And it's probably going to be another 3 years, 3 or 4 years before I get a chance for superstars again. And that is what it is. But there's plenty of other ones that I still need to check off the list. And, you know, maybe one day I'll get it right to where some of the others have it, that they go for those belts, that they kind of cruise control it through. I don't know how to cruise control in RAWF. I don't know how to be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to show up to the match and I'm not even going to say anything in the shows, and I'm not even going to promo anything. I don't know how to not vex in RAWF. And at some point, I might have to not vex in RAWF just to get those goals off my to-do list. So, yeah, 2023 is going to see a little bit different. We'll see if I can do it. I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things where I know what I need to do and I know what I have to do. Can I do it? I don't know.
Well, should be a very interesting year, to say the least, Vex, and I'm sure you're looking forward to it, and we will see what happens. Happy New Year's to you, Vex. Any final thoughts? Anything else you'd like to say before we end 2022 here?
You know, my prediction for this year was that we were going to see Maeve with the world title, and we haven't seen that. But what we did see was we saw her get into the RAWF Hall of Fame. And honestly, that's worth 10 world titles to me to see her get there. So if there's any parting words I have for 2022, It's that I am incredibly proud to see my friend get to this point and to finally achieve that dream of holding that tag title with my former tag partner.
All right. Well, we shall see what happens. Good luck to you in 2023, Vex. Good luck to you tonight against Penelope.
Have a great night, LA.
All right, L Vacant. So that is one Hall of Famer's goals for 2023. Well, we might ask a couple other people here by the end of the show, but let's talk more about some of the people we were talking about in 20. Let's talk about guy I know you are all about, Blake effing Bradley, and how he did.
Yeah, let's talk about Blake motherfucking Bradley.
He, of course, finished 10th in the overall rankings, was in the top 10 five of the 10 rankings period, was in the top 25 seven out of 10 times. And to be fair, he started out a little slow at the beginning of the year.
You said he came in what in the overall rankings?
Eighth, right?
Eighth, yes.
Yes, eighth.
That's what I said.
It's good. Eighth in the overall rankings. And started out, and this is what's starting out slow, because I said he made the top 25 seven out of 10. Two of those were his first two periods in December and January. So once he finally figured it out, he certainly figured it out. There ain't no doubt about it. And, of course, Midnight Hobo Championship in his possession at this point. I feel like you feel that the sky's the limit for Blake Bradley here.
Absolutely. I think by this time next year, he will, if he hasn't actually become the world champion, he will at least have gotten a world championship match. He is right there. He's in that mix pretty consistently. He does really well against some of the best this company's ever seen. You know, he works a mic like nobody's business. Like the guy's hitting on all cylinders. There's nothing going to stand in his way.
I agree. I can't. If Blake keeps on this path, if he continues on this trend, he could very well be a world champion in 2023. If he continues the way he's been rolling, there's no doubt about it. He can talk. He can wrestle. He is the entire package. There's no doubt about it. So Blake Bradley's stock will definitely climb a bit in 2023. Vex talked about Maeve. Now, Maeve finished 11th, just outside the top 10. But we know, you know, she's finishing a bit strong, winning tag team gold, the Ultimate Gauntlet. Could possibly be finished with the Estrogen Championship. If you were to put your crystal ball out, how do you see Maeve O'Hara faring in 2023?
I think the only barrier Maeve has is Maeve. To be honest, she was on a hell of a tear at the beginning of the year, and it dropped off a little bit. I think she's gotten in her head a little bit. I think she questions herself a little bit. But at the same time, I think when it's time to hit the match, you know, she goes out there and she kicks ass. I think if she can tap more into the ass kicker and less into the self-questioning person, she could easily find herself in the ring at a main event for the world title, easily. I think she just needs to find that spark. Again, that let her be the girl that came into a company that she had no right to have this opinion of, and have that opinion of that she was going to take on the world and kick everybody's ass and take names and give out numbers and whatever the colloquialism is, you know, and consequences be damned. She was just going to go in there and fight everybody like she owned them. And I think if she finds that girl again, you're going to find her in the main event again.
Yeah, I again have to agree, but I won't say too much because she already thinks I'm a jinx. So I will
shut up.
I am not. Hobo Ezekiel. he is the highest ranked wrestler here on this list who didn't win a major title in 2023. I mean, I would have to go back over the records, but I'm 99% sure he was not.
I believe you're correct.
So, I mean.
Which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, it absolutely is. What did he rank? Where did he finish?
Ezekiel was seventh.
Seventh. So, yes, he was ranked seventh. And, no, he did not win a major championship this year. And I'm not exactly sure how many titles. I know he was the After Hours champion or Saturday Night champion at one point, if I'm not mistaken. But as far as all the other belts go, I do not see him in any of the title matches for this year's pay-per-views. So, I mean, that in itself is very interesting. But still, Hobo Ezekiel is not one to be trifled with. I think he, as far as championships go, I could see him winning at least a couple here in the coming year if he keeps up what he's been doing. And, of course, I mean, one of the best storytellers in RAWF is Hobo Ezekiel.
I am not sure I'm correct, but I believe currently he has, for the year, the most appearances in contender matches that he did not win.
No,
I'm not kidding. I think it's either him or Paragon.
Yeah. You may be right about that. It is funny how that works out. I mean, and like I said, he was one of the four people to be in the top 25 in all 10 rankings period. So I mean, he can only go up from here, and that's the scary thing considering he finished seventh. Am I wrong?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. Look, I love this guy. Like he comes in. He does it his way. He's got his own thing going on, and he's fun to watch fight. I never understand a goddamn word he's saying, but I don't care. He has great ring music. The fans love him, and he comes up with words like yitza. I still don't know what that is, but apparently it made you sick. I don't know. But, like, this is the guy that's like, I hate to say this because they're so far different on where they end their year, right? But, like, he's in the same boat as Hotshot where, like, he gets to the spotlight and then he just can't fire, right? If he could just figure out what that is, what it is that when he gets to that spotlight match, he can't seem to get that match, that win, that important win. If he can figure out what that is, the sky's the limit.
True. I agree with you. I would love to see Hobo with some gold around his waist in the near future. But you have to admit, though, he's one of the happiest individuals. And to be fair, he is the reigning Superstars champion right now.
That is true.
And had a huge match against the Paragon of Greatness on Christmas Day. And, of course, if any of you have been paying attention, he and Paragon have kind of been, well, I wouldn't say swapping Christmas gifts, but I think you know the whole story, and if you don't, you need to follow it, folks. It's been a hilarious journey, and it all culminated on Christmas Day on Superstars. Hobo Ezekiel defeated the Paragon of Greatness to retain the Superstars Championship that night, but it was a fun night, to say the least. It's been a fun Christmas season for Hobo Ezekiel, and that's why I don't know if it was so much fun for Paragon, but unfortunately, it is what it is. Hobo is the new Superstars champion, by the way. He defeated La Capone the week before in Pensacola. So congratulations to you on that, Hobo. And we will see how 2023 treats you as well and your yeetus. Whatever the hell a yeetus is. Let's talk about DW's year. She had a pretty good year. Triple Crown Championship, Estrogen title, Hatfield McCoy Championship, among her accolades this year. She finished fifth overall, was in the top 10 six times, and in the top 25 eight out of the 10 rankings periods. She's another one who has the potential to take that next step, El Vacant, if she could just get past herself, I think, in this case. Am I wrong?
No, I think that sums it up pretty clearly. I just think, yes, I think she just needs to get out of her own way and let her do her own thing.
I do too. I think she gets out of her own head. DW could be potentially a top champion here in RAWF. There's no doubt about it. So, but she had a very steady year, finishing in fifth place, although last year she finished in second. So a bit of a downturn there, but considering who some of the people that are ahead of her, like Deez, who certainly had himself a year, no doubt there. I believe he had a national title to his resume, and a few other things. And then, of course, tonight he could be the next world heavyweight champion, finish 2022 with an exclamation point. He was one of three people to win two extra point tournaments this year out of the nine. There were nine extra points tournaments. One was canceled due to the blackout, the great blackout, if you will. But three people won the extra point tournament twice. Mithras did it twice, the Immortal Griffith did it twice, and Deez did it twice. So he had himself a heck of a year. But where do you see Deez going from here? Let's say he wins the world title tonight. What do you see ahead of him for 2023?
Well, first, I'm going to point out that when we had this conversation last year, what I said about Deez was that if he could figure out and find that spark and actually take things seriously, he would be in the exact position he's in right now. So the same thing I said about Chris Cage and the same thing I said about Hobo, I said about Deez last year, and here he is in the last match of the year. Right? His last match of the year is going to be for the world championship in RAWX. So first of all, thank you. I was correct. Okay, good. Right. That out of the way. Look, if he wins this thing, honestly, that's when the real pressure begins, right? And that's true for everyone who wins their first RAWF world title match. Ask anyone who's done it. They win the match, and that's when the pressure sinks in, because when they're the challenger, all they're worried about is, you know, can I do it? Can I get the belt? Can I take the belt? There's no pressure there. It's just hunger, right? But now you have the belt. Can you defend the belt? Can you keep someone from taking it from you? They're coming to take what's yours, right? And, you know, if you get the belt and they immediately take it away from you, was it a fluke? Do you have to start all over to prove yourself again? Nightcrawler just talked about this last month, where when he defended it the first time, you know, it took a weight off of his mind, because it told him, he didn't care that it told everybody else, but it told him that it wasn't a fluke, that he deserved that. And that'll be the position Deez walks into the new year with. He wins tonight. He walks into the new year having to prove everything in the next title defense.
Agreed. We will see what happens as Deez does challenge Nightcrawler tonight for the World Heavyweight Championship. Finishing in third was the Paragon of Greatness. He had, despite maybe not holding as much gold as he would have liked, he definitely improved from last year, finishing third overall. But of course, he had his ups and downs, as we know. What do you see in 2023? What does your crystal ball say the Paragon of Greatness is going to do?
You know, I don't know. That's a hard one for me, because, you know, this is a guy who should be top of the top all the time. You know, he should have one of the top titles all the time. And it just doesn't seem to break his way. Like, he seems to get in position a lot, but like things just kind of don't line up for him correctly lately. And I think it's been getting to him. I think we've seen that week after week. It's getting to him. It's getting to his mentality. And I don't know if the mentality he's currently in will help him or hurt him going forward. And I think that remains to be seen.
All right. We shall see. Finishing second was Simply the Best. He started out 2022 as the World Heavyweight Champion. Lost it fairly quickly to the Immortal Griffith, but has been in the mix several times since then. Has come just short of regaining that World Championship. What do you think Simply the Best is going to do in 2023?
Honestly, I think he's going to keep doing exactly what he's been doing, plugging away, making sure he's in the top of the rankings, and taking every opportunity that comes his way. And I think that's how he ended up with the world championship. I think that's how he's ended up with shots at every major title we've had, whether win or lose. And I don't think that's going to change. I don't see Simply the Best massively changing what he does or who he does it for or how he does it. Right? I think he's going to keep doing what he does because it's been a recipe for success for him.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Simply the Best is going to drop far, if at all, in these rankings in 2023. And I think he's always going to be mentioned in the mix when it comes to the top titles here in RAWF. But then at number one, we got to talk about his year, and it was one of the most dominating points performances ever. It wasn't even close. He won the points title by... Oh, well, let's see. 350 points.
Wait, what?
350 point margin
ahead
between
of number two.
Ahead of Simply the Best at number two. That is indeed correct. Let's put it.
So what you're telling me is that he could have taken like this entire season off and still won.
Yes. Most likely, yeah. Oh, yeah, he could have taken the last two seasons off. He had this title cinched back in September or October. That's how dominant of a year points-wise Mithras had. It wasn't even close. Four number ones, two extra point tournaments, 10 times in the top 10, 10 times in the top 25. It was a destruction as far as the rest of the field goes. So... my question to you is, we can't say, well, if the sky is the limit for the Mithras, because he's already up there. Do we see him descend at all in 2023? Do we see a drop-off? Because how long can somebody, even the title machine, even somebody as incredible as the title machine, keep up this pace?
Honestly, I don't know. Arguably forever. Well, I don't know. He's clearly been very content on being Platinum Dragon champion. He's passed up on multiple contender matches over the last year. He's made it clear that his goal was to be number one for 3 years in a row. He has achieved that. I will be curious to see if he decides he wants to see if he goes for four, or if he just wants to see how long he can keep Platinum Dragon, or if he decides he wants to see if he can, I don't know, get all of the belts and melt them down and make one giant belt. I don't know. I don't know where he's going to go with this. And here's the weirdest part. It's Mithras, so it could be any or all of those.
No. Sorry.
You're just picturing the giant belt made out of all of the belts, aren't you?
No, I wouldn't want to see that, to be honest with you. I really wouldn't, because that would just... that wouldn't work. Not ever, you know, because as great as he is, he can't hold all the belts because, first of all, he's not eligible to be estrogen champion. So that right there.
He figured out.
But, all right. Well, with that being said, we find out in 2023 what happens. It should be a lot of fun. Our next pay-per-view, ladies and gentlemen, is Love Hurts, which will come to you live February 12th from oh, wait, you already know about this, but I'm going to tell you it anyways.
I do.
Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
I hate you so much. So much. I swear I'm going to cut you open and crawl in like a tauntaun. Stay warm.
Oh, shoot. All right. Well, let's see here. There's other people we can discuss. Well, I mean, Money Sue. I know Money Sue, he kind of had a slow end of the year, but he finished it off kind of strong, winning the Triple Crown Championship. You see Money Sue making much of an impact in 2023.
I don't know. So Money Sue's weird, right? I mean, okay, like as a case study, he's just odd. Because so back in the day, like if you go back, there was a point in time where Money Sue was very important to the title scene of RAWF. I don't think anyone can argue that, right? Like he was like one of the first national champions, I think it was. What was it? Wasn't he like one of the first big champions?
Yes, he was the first ever national champion in RAWF way back in the day at the very first
paper. When the national champion was like the top belt?
Well, it was one of them. Yeah, the Platinum Dragon champion championship hadn't been created yet at that point, and we hadn't had a world champion. So at that point, he was the top champion there until we crowned our first world champion.
Right. So, look, and back in those early days, like, you know, my understanding is he had quite a lot of, in fact, actually, if I'm not mistaken, like, when it comes to number of titles held, isn't he, like, third or fourth?
Yes.
Because I think, unless something's changed, I think it's in order, Griffith, Paragon, Money Sue.
Something to that effect. A Mithras might be in there, too, but I'm not sure. But Money Sue has never been a world heavyweight or world heavyweight champion. It's the few that have eluded him.
Sure, but my point being is that there was a point in time where he was a big deal around here.
Yep.
But it's been a while since that's been true, and I think that bugs him. Like, I think that eats at him, right? Mm-hmm. And he tries to walk around here like he's still that guy. Unfortunately, he does that, and then he gets in front of the people who are that guy now, and they smack him around a little bit. I mean. Look at just how cocksure Eagle Guy over there is about beating him tonight, right? You know, that's got to eat away at Money Sue. So here's the thing: I think one of two things is going to have to happen, and if it's going to happen, it's going to happen soon. He's going to be like, "Screw this, I'm out," because his ego can't take it, or his ego is going to be like, "Fuck this. This is bullshit," and he's gonna just suck that fire I've been talking about all night is gonna light, and he's gonna just start trying to climb back up to where he once was in the company. Frankly, I'd rather see the latter. I'd kind of like to see that Money Sue. You know, I want, because I wasn't here when he was that guy, but I've heard stories. I'd like to see that Money Sue, the guy that shows up, talks shit, and then backs it up 100%. I want to see that guy. I'd like to see that happen. I'm hoping that's what we see next year. Will it be? Who knows?
All right. Last person I want to talk to before we sign off for the night. We only got 5 minutes, so we'll take the immortal Griffith. He had a pretty good year. He had a little drop in the middle where he was on quote-unquote vacation. But back in January, the second rankings period, he scored the most points in any rankings period over – but far and away the most rankings points with 315. He had a dominant rankings period that way. It got him the World Heavyweight Championship. And then, kind of tapered off after the loss to Strangleheart, kind of about the vacation and whatnot. He's kind of getting back in his groove, a couple Triple Crown championships and a tag team title belt. What do you see in the future for the Immortal Griffith in 2023?
That's another one where it's kind of weird. Like, he's sort of in a similar boat, I guess, as Mithras said. He's kind of done everything, and he gets bees in his bonnet, I guess, is the best way to say it. Like, I don't know that we can know exactly what Griff's going to do, because I don't think Griff knows what he's going to do. I think right now he's concentrating on, those tag team titles, the way he talked about them earlier. But here's the worst thing. The wrong person could say the wrong thing at any given moment. Next thing you know, here comes Pissy Griff, and he's just going balls for the wall to go teach somebody a lesson. Right? How many times have we seen that? Right? The guy goes from being everybody's best friend to, now I'm going to eat your goddamn face. So who knows? Who knows where he's going to go? Because he doesn't know.
All right. Well, that concludes 2022 here in RAWF, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back here next Saturday night for the first RAWF After Hours of 2023. And our next pay-per-view will be February 12th in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. It will be RAWF A Love Hurts. For L Vacant, I wish you all a very happy and safe new year. Please be careful out there. Party safely. Party smartly, and we will see you all here next year on RAWF After Hours.
Party on, dude.
We will leave you with the traditional Christmas classic here in RAWF that cannot be missed. Good night, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Jingle my balls, jingle my balls, jingle all the way. Jizz in the sheets, jizz on the bio, jizz on Ohio's intro. Next thing you know, Santa's on his way. Here comes Santa Claus, what are you gonna say? Jizz on the middle, jizz on the sheets, just don't jizz on Santa Claus week. Everybody comes and everybody goes, everybody stays and everybody plays. This is what we do here in Christmas Town. Jizz around and jizz around. Jizz in the hand, jizz on the fan. Just don't ever jizz on this man. I'm telling you right now, if you jizz on me, you're going to have a problem. 1, 2, 3. This was that song, and this is the same. This is the Christmas little song today. Everybody knows what you're going to do. Yeah, yeah, it does taste different for some, even you. Jingle my balls, jingle my balls, jingle all the way. Have a good Christmas, have a good day, have a good holiday. So jingle my balls, 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 jingle my balls.